Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
All right, good morning. Is it just me, or does it just feel like God is moving through worship these past few weeks? I stand back there, and man, when God is moving, I get like chill bumps, and I'm not like a crazy emotional person, but I just feel like God is stirring something. And during that last song, Give Me Faith, I mean, you guys were killing it, and I was hearing some good voices up there. But I just love it. There's just something contagious. There is something incredible when God's people come together to worship Him. And so that's why we love Sundays. Not that we're serving God or worshiping God that much differently, we hope, than on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But on Sundays, we come together and we get to be together, united, bridged together. And so that's what we hope that you feel today. If you're joining us maybe for the first time, we have a connect card in the worship guide there for you in front. We'd love to connect with you. We just want to simply do that. And so if you fill that out, it'll help you stay connected to what God is doing, different events we have going on. We send out different communication through social media, email, all of that throughout the week to help you stay connected. And so if you'd love to do that as well. But we are in week four of a series entitled Take Heart. Take Heart. Last week, Pastor Jason spoke in an incredible way. If you missed that, you can catch up on our podcast. And so we're going to continue to build off of that. And so today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 10. That's going to be our base verse where we're going to sit most of our day. But Matthew chapter 10, and I'll go ahead and give you the verses, verses 16 through 20. So if you want to find that, Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 20. But I just want to pray for us and ask God just to speak to us here this morning. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we love you so much. Thank you for the opportunity to sing to you, to worship you, God, to dive into your word. God, thank you for each and every person that walked through these doors this morning, God. I pray that our hearts are hungry for your word, hungry for your truth. God, I pray that if anybody walked in with just so much going on in their life, God, I just pray that during this time that you'll begin to release that from their heart, release that from their mind, God. I pray that today we'll experience healing, God. Today that we'll experience your grace, your truth, your power, your love, your mercy, God. I just pray that you continue to speak to our hearts. I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase, God. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right. My name is Daniel Casnave. I get the absolute honor and privilege to be the pastor here at the Bridge Church. And I believe God has called all of us on assignment. And I can remember some of the first time receiving some bigger responsibilities. And for me, it was a little bigger. I remember I was like maybe fifth, sixth, seventh grade. When I was growing up, I had the privilege of being, privilege is the word of the day if you haven't noticed, so I've like said privilege a lot, but anyway, I had the honor to be partly raised and help come up with my grandparents. And my grandfather was an incredible man, one of the men that I like extremely look up to in my life. And so we would get in the backyard. He was one of those guys who had to stay busy. I mean, he was always doing something. I remember he was 92, mind you. I went over to his house. He's in the backyard with a chainsaw trying to cut this tree off the fence. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I just got to get this thing out. You know, I got to get this rolling. But that's just how he was, always moving. But then, of course, he was moving around, and we'd go out in the backyard, and we'd cut his big backyard. And I remember some of the first times he'd let me get on there. First, I'm riding with him. That may not be politically correct now, but like, you know, I'm riding, cutting grass with him. And then he jumped off, and he was like, all right, you can cut it today. And I remember being on that riding lawnmower like I was on Indy 500. Like I just had all the responsibility in the world, right? And I'm just cruising on this thing. And I grew up through middle school and high school, continuing to do that. Just one of the joys of feeling that responsibility. And then he upped the game a little bit. You see, I love pickup trucks. I just, my wife, she's like, hey, you got an eye. We'll just pull in somewhere. You'd be like, ooh, that's a nice truck. But for some reason, I just love pickup trucks. And he drove this old, I can't even remember the year. My mom's in here, you make it tell me the year, it's like 80s, 90s Ford F-150. And actually it was a Chevy. I'm sorry, I'm messing it all up, messing the whole story up. But it was an old Chevy. It was blue, and we called it Old Blue. And we used to ride that thing, and he would drive around. It was one of those like real nice trucks where you had to pump the gas pedal, you know, to get it to crank, and then like vroom, and it would finally go. But we'd get in the backyard, and he'd pull a little trailer up to it and do work, and he would like secretly let me drive old Blue. I'm probably like 14 years old, and we go in the backyard, drive that thing around. It was just, I love that responsibility. But if you know anything about responsibility, when you first get that, you kind of step back at a moment and go, okay, this could go south. This truck could go into the side of the house if I mess up, right? Like this lawnmower, I remember bending blades on the sidewalk, all that stuff, and he'd be out there in his sledgehammer just bending it back, right? Because I messed it up. But with that responsibility, I believe there comes a struggle. And I believe that when you are sent out with a responsibility, immediately sometimes we are met with a struggle. Because there is a weight to responsibility. Am I right? Like if you thought about maybe starting a new job and it's exciting, like maybe you even got a promotion and you're like, oh, I made it, I'm getting it. But you step into that responsibility or that new responsibility and you're like, whoa, hang on a second. This is all new. I got to learn this. I got to learn new people's faces. And all of a sudden this struggle comes with this almost being sent, this struggle with being taking on this new responsibility. Or maybe I still remember walking home out of the hospital with my first kid. I'm like, for real? Like I can go by myself. Like, you know, I've never done this before, right? And like you just feel that weight, feel that responsibility. And every time we take that step, it could be, hey, I'm starting a new volunteer role at church and I step into it. And all of a sudden you just feel that almost weight of, well, what do I do here? Because the moment we are sent, I believe there becomes a struggle that comes right in there. And last week, Jason was teaching us through the battle that we face, the heart of a warrior, and how to take heart through those situations. And I believe that once we receive and step into our sentness, our assignment from God, that the enemy does not want us to experience, does not want us to live that out, because he knows that you have influence, I have influence, and if he can stop you from living out the truth that God has placed in your heart, that God has placed in your mind, that not only is he taking you out, but he's taking all the people that he God can influence through you. And so he knows, hey, if I can stop that flow, but God is saying, hey, I want to use you in incredible ways. And so we see this struggle here in Matthew chapter 10, because Jesus now is walking this earth and he has these disciples, these group of guys, and they just started collecting and they're getting ready. Jesus is training them. He's equipping them. He's building them up. And then we see this full chapter in Matthew chapter 10. It's pretty incredible. Matthew was one of his disciples. He walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, and then inspired by the Holy Spirit, penned some of these stories, penned down what Jesus said. And so we get to look into a conversation of Jesus himself as he is talking to his disciples. And so we get to the scene here. Jesus has already started his ministry. He's doing miracles and he stops. And it's like this transition begins to happen. And he turns and he looks at his disciples and goes, okay, you seen me do all of this. You've seen God use me in this. I love gummy bears too. It's all good. But you see God move in all of this. He goes, okay, now I'm going to send you out. Now you are the ones that are going to be doing this and God is going to work through you. And immediately Jesus says, okay, now that I'm sending you out, you're going to see a struggle that maybe you've never experienced before. You're going to see something that now that you're stepping out for Christ, yes, I'm going to use you in incredible ways, but I want you to be ready to take heart. I want you to be ready because there's going to be a little bit of a different struggle as you step out in that. And he's like, I don't want you to be blindsided. I want you to be prepared. I want you to be ready. And so today we're going to look at it as a church in this conversation in Matthew chapter 10. You guys still with me? All right. Verse 16, this is Jesus as he's teaching his disciples and he says, behold, I am sending you out. He's sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For you are to say, for what you will say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Jesus stops and he goes, okay, behold, I want you to listen, guys. I'm going to send you out. And he says, I want you to live a life constantly being sent out. And I just thought for a second, I'm like, what if you and I woke up every day and go, okay, God, I'm sent today. I am sent today. Wherever I'm going to school, I'm going to my job, I'm going into my household. Like, God, you have sent me today. There's so much purpose that God, today you have an assignment. And he's saying, God, I'm sending you out. And so we, as followers of Christ, that there's this moment when we become, we'll walk through salvation. We say, God, I give you my life. I want to follow you everywhere. You will take me. I want to experience you in incredible ways. And he says, okay, now you have been equipped. Now I've breathed new life into you. The Holy Spirit is speaking into you and growing you and growing and stretching your heart. Now he's almost like turns us, right? He like turns us and goes, okay, now I'm sending you out. He goes, but I want you to realize is that I'm sending you out. You're going to receive this incredible responsibility, this incredible purpose. He's like, but I don't want you to go blind. He said, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. And I just think about that first. I'm like, why would Jesus? In fact, I was telling our volunteers this morning that God actually, I was reading this in my quiet time and devotional, and I believe God spoke to my spirit about a year ago about this message, but I really didn't feel like it was time yet. So I just kind of sat on it and sat on it and sat on it, and then we did this series. I'm like, it's time. Yes! So if I get a little excited, get a little riled up, it's been a year in here. So, but we were thinking about this, and I'm like, why would he say that? Like, why a sheep among wolves? If you were to think about a sheep, right? Like, there is absolutely nothing scary about a sheep. When you look at a sheep, you go, aw, right? Like, you're just like, look how fluffy this sheep is. This is nice. Like, sheep don't do anything but provide wool and food, right? Like, they come together, the shepherds go after them. Most of the time, the shepherd has to keep the sheep safe, right? They don't have sharp teeth. They don't have sharp claws. Like, they're just fluffy. They're nice. They're not even included in, like, the most intelligent animals, right? Like, no, your job is to follow the shepherd around and provide those things. And so I'm like, the sheep, I'm like, wow, what an incredible image for us to go, you know what, God? I'm a sheep. Like, I am a lamb. I'm here. Whatever you need, God, I'm following you. Wherever you tell me to go, I'm going to go. Wherever you tell me to step, I'm on assignment. Oh, you're sending me over here? I'm going to be sent over there. God, you want me to say that? Okay, I'm going to say this to that person. God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be sent out. I'm going to do everything I can. And when you look in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, and you see a picture of even Jesus, the Old Testament, they would have to bring sacrifices. And they would bring a lamb, a perfect lamb, as a sacrifice for atonement for sins. And then when Jesus came, and he was the perfect sacrifice, he is called the Lamb of God. Because he was the perfect sacrifice for you and I. And so we see this mix and this balance of God as saying, hey, this sacrifice before him, that you and I have the mentality of going, yes, I am sent, but I am willing to sacrifice my time, my resources, my mental capacity so that others can know Jesus more, so that others can know, hey, you can be set free too. And I thought about this, and even like the struggle that we face, God, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know if you can actually even use me. Do you know where I've been? Do you know my past? And God is going, hey, the qualification I want you to realize is that you give me your life and I will direct you as your good shepherd. And just follow me. I'll put you in the right place at the right time. And so when you will speak up and speak my truth, that God will use you in an incredible way. Just be willing to sacrifice that time, because I don't know about you, but I can get busy during the week, right? I mean, bouncing from one thing to the next, my mind's thinking about this, my mind's thinking about that. But am I willing at the beginning of my day going, okay, God, today I'm sent. It's your agenda. It's your day. What do you want from me today? I'm like a sheep. Send me out, God. Direct me. Guide me to the people that need you the most. But then Jesus goes, okay, it's not all peaches and roses. I'm sending you out as a sheep among wolves. Now, wolves I like. You know what I'm saying? Like, they got teeth. Like, God, can you send me like a wolf among sheep, right? Like, they got teeth. They got claws. They hunt in packs. They are built for hunting, right? Like, they go out. They are fast. They are smart. They organize. They travel for miles to get food. All of these things that wolves do. And they're scary looking. They even got this, like, cool howl that intimidates people and rallies their pack together, almost like a Batman signal in the sky, right? Like that's a wolf right there. And he's going, yeah, but you're like a sheep being sent into a wolf's den. You're like a sheep being sent out with wolves surrounding you. And I begin to think, like, what kind of sheep walks into a wolf's den? Like, it makes no sense. Like, it is completely contradictory. It's like you're going to sat. Like, you're going, like, that's not gonna make sense. It's not gonna end well for the sheep, right? That's what I'm thinking. But I'm like, wait a second. Do you know who my Father is? Like, do you know what God can do through a willing vessel? And I was reminded of this verse in Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. And this Revelations can be very confusing, and all these illustrations and images that they use to reveal what God is going to do in the end times. And so John had this revelation and penned it out, but he has this revelation of they were looking for someone who was pure and holy and righteous, and this one person can open up the scrolls, which represents judgment when Jesus comes back. And so we get this picture of who Jesus see is in Revelation 5:5. It's a powerful, incredible picture, and it says, "And the one of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and his seven seals.'" And so we get this imagery that nobody can open this seal. Nobody can bring redemption. Nobody can bring hope. But Jesus says, hey, I am the Lion, the tribe of Judah. I have already conquered. I went to the cross on your behalf. I went to the cross on Daniel's behalf. I went to the cross on your kids' behalf. I have conquered. And when you walk in like a sheep, you don't walk in timid, like, I don't know what's about to happen, but you are a sheep with a lion heart, right? Like, God is placed inside of you, and we as sheep, yes, we look vulnerable, we're willing to sacrifice, but we walk. I just picture the scene, the sheep walking in almost like prancing, like, how you doing? You bunch of wolves, huh? You think you're bad, huh? Look, I'm a sheep. Do you know who my daddy is? Like, inside of me is the Lion, the tribe of Judah, walking in me. And so whatever you do to me, go ahead. Because on my worst day, I face Jesus face to face. He is in me. And I just picture this scene as a bunch of sheep leaving this church and going, hey, whatever this world wants to throw at me, come on. The Lion, the tribe of Judah, is in me. And you see this perfect mix of sacrifice and strength. This sacrifice and strength. And not this strength of, hey, I can go out and move a crowd, but no, this inward strength that throw any trial at me. It may hurt, I may struggle, it may be a burden on me, but I know God will give me peace and strength through this. I will make it through, and you may bite me, you may hurt me, but I'm gonna rise up again, because there is somebody in me who is greater than he who is in the world, right? Amen? Like, this is an incredible picture of who Jesus has called us to be. That, yes, there's this scene of a sheep going, God, I'm following you. Whatever you want from me. And you imagine a sheep walking into a wolf's den. You imagine you walking into your workplace. You imagine you walking into your family who rejects God, who doesn't want anything to talk about God or anything that looks like God, but yet you walk in as a sheep. And they're like, why are you so confident walking in here, walking in like you know, all these things. You're like, well, I just need to tell you what God has done in my life. And Jesus doesn't stop there. In fact, he continues to teach. And he's teaching his disciples and he's saying, hey, yes, you're going to be sheep in the midst of wolves, but I want you to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And when you think about a serpent, we think all the way to Genesis where the Satan comes to tempt, but Jesus uses the serpent here as a positive illustration. And he's going, hey, I want you to be as wise as a serpent. When I send you out amongst the wolves, I want you to be like a serpent, like just going through the grass, and they hunt smart, right? Most of the time you don't even see a snake until it's too late, right? And I was kind of rapping there. It's too late to, right? But the snake is going through the grass and he's looking, but you and I, we go through life looking for wisdom, just saying, God, what is the wise thing for me to do in this situation? That, hey, I'm amongst wolves. I know something could go down. I'm in my neighborhood, but I'm wise and I'm looking for opportunities to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And I'm looking and I have to be wise. I have to be willing. I have to be ready because I think about different things in my life that if I'm not constantly looking for opportunities for God to use me, I'll miss them. I'll miss those opportunities. Or I haven't placed myself or enough margin in my life to where I can help somebody, whether that be financially, whether that be with my time, whether that be with my resources, whatever it is, but for me to have a wise foundation and live off the principles that God has given me and have that margin to go, you know what? I can take this entire afternoon and I can cut your grass for you. I can take this time and I got a little extra money on the side and I noticed that you're having kind of a hard time right now. So here you go. I want to give you this. Well, aren't you, what are they going to waste it? What are they going to do this? What are they going to do that? Hey, I'm a sheep among wolves, right? And I'm just confident, hey God, this is, you place it on my heart. I'm going to follow you, follow your leading. You are my good shepherd. If you want me to do this, God, my job is to be obedient and to trust God with the consequences, right? And saying, I'm wise, I'm looking, I'm ready. I got margin in my life. And I have this wisdom that has grown in my life and I get to follow God and what that could look like. And he continues. And there's so many verses here. And I just want to read just the synopsis of some of these. Is that when we sacrifice for others, we help count the cost. There's a wisdom there. That humility brings wisdom. Proverbs 11:2 says that. Psalm 90:12 says, the Bible says to number our days so that we may gain wisdom. God is saying when we live like we know Jesus is coming back, that we know that we don't have all the time on this earth, all of a sudden it's like, woo, I kind of know what I want to do with my resources. I kind of want to know what I want to do with my time now because Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, we want to feel heaven, right? We're like, we want to walk in unity and make Jesus famous in this place. But it takes us stepping back and being wise. But I do believe, and I think this is worth saying here, because I believe that God is telling us to be wise and not to be reckless. That is the opposite of wisdom, right? Reckless. He's not calling us to go out and just be reckless with our resources, reckless with our time, and just help any and everybody that we see all the time. God is going, no, I want you to be wise as a serpent. I want you to know where your limits are, know where your margin is, because we can't control what other people do, right? Our job is to love them and to be there for them and to be wise for them. And sometimes the best thing we can do is not to give up on them. But I heard this from a pastor this week. We don't give up on them, but we give them up to God. We don't give up on them, but we say, God, I've done everything I can do. Now they are yours. You move, God, on this. I'm going to pray earnestly. I'm going to be there for them. But there comes a time where we have to be wise and say, God, I've laid it out on the table, and if they choose to take it, because Jesus did that for us. He did not make us take salvation. No, he died on the cross and said, hey, the keys to freedom are right here. And all you need to do is choose it. Say, God, I give you my life. I surrender, and I take those keys to experience freedom and eternity with Christ. And he's saying, hey, I want you to offer that same kind of love to be there for them, but I want you to be wise as serpents. And then he says, I want you to be as harmless as doves. Doves are a picture and a symbol of peace. And when we think about doves, it's almost like that sheep, right? You're like, oh, that cute little thing, right? Like harmless as a dove. But I want us to think of dove and think of peace. And we see this picture that Jesus is teaching. He's saying, be as harmless as a dove. And I think about a person of peace. And we as a church can be as harmless as a dove because I want people to know what we are for. I want people to know, hey, we, every person in here, when we walk out as representatives of what God is doing, we are for every single person here in the gospel. We are for unity. We are for peace. We are for grace. We are for truth. Right? We want people to know what God can do for them, and we don't have to go up to them and go, oh, God hates that. God hates that. God hates that. You should, like, God, no, we come and say, hey, look, there is so much more that God has in store for you than what you're doing right now. What you're doing right now, when you put your head on the pillow at night, you feel the shame, you feel the guilt. You don't have to live with that. I know somebody that can give you freedom. That can give you hope, that can give you strength. And in times you feel like you can't do it all, but yet the lion, the tribe of Judah is in you, speaking into your ear, speaking into your conscience, and you can experience him. You can take heart in Christ because who is in you? And he's saying, I'm harmless as a dove. I want to come home and show you these things of what God wants to do in and through us. Proverbs 14:6 says, one who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. As God is saying, I want you to be wise and as harmless as a dove, leading people away from evil, leading people away from harm in their life. God is saying, I want that for your life. I want that to continue for you to continue to experience that in incredible ways. And then he says here, as I get ready to wrap up here, today, but he goes back in verses 19 and 20. And I believe it's pretty incredible last two verses. Because if we're honest, and even for me, like I've been preaching now for, you know, 10, 11 years, and I'm still sitting over there in the corner worshiping going, "Ooh, God, I hope you show up today," right? Like, God, I hope you speak through me today. Like, you still feel that struggle of being sent. And I believe that we can even feel that struggle at work or at home. Like, I'm going to pray with my wife. I'm going to pray with my spouse. I'm going to pray with my kids. It's like, I don't know what I'm going to say, right? Like, you almost got to, like, get ready. But we got to believe that God wants to use us, that he wants to use us in incredible ways. But this is what he says here in verses 19 and 20. It says, when they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. This is little moment here where God is going, look, you're not going to feel 100% confident because I want you to walk in faith. And when you step into that hour, God will begin to remind you of all the scripture you've read. Maybe in your childhood, some Sunday school teacher or small group leader spoke something into your spirit, into your mind, into your heart, and you just say it and like, whoa, where did that come from? Right? Like, how did I just reveal that was all the way back from when I was 9 years old? That was all the way back. I just read this online, or I just read this in 1 Corinthians Day, my devotion time, and all of a sudden God rekindles that, rekindles the word that is in our heart, because scripture tells us that his word never returns void. And when it's sown into people, the Holy Spirit, when we yield to the Holy Spirit, it begins to draw those out in our lives and in our mind. And then in verse 20, this is an incredible verse. In fact, after this message, like, I'm going to write it out for myself just personally. It says, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. The lion from the tribe of Judah, for he has conquered. And that is who is speaking through you. That when you go out and you are sent as sheep among wolves, you are not alone. You are not by yourself. God is saying, I am with you. In fact, I have already conquered. The work is already done. I just need you to be obedient and willing and open. And when you do, and you're a sheep out for slaughter, like these guys, Jesus was teaching them, because they would go and get beaten and whipped and tortured. And he's like, you know what you do when you get arrested? I want you to testify to those people while you're being arrested. While you're in prison and they're chained you, Apostle Paul was chained chained to a guard, and he was like, sweet. So he can't go anywhere. Let me tell you about Jesus. Like, just what's going on right here, right? Like, and he taking advantage, being wise as a serpent, every opportunity. God is saying to live wise, to count our days, to know that he is coming back, and God wants to use you to change somebody's eternity when we trust him, are willing and obedient to say, hey, God, I'm going to do this for you. I don't understand everything, but I'm willing to walk and take those steps for you. Because God, I trust you in that. I trust you in every step I take. I believe you can do something incredible. And so I just want to recap five things. I want to pray for us real quick. Five things that we talked about today. He says we live a sent life. We live a sent life. We are a lamb with a lion heart, right? We are a lamb with a lion heart. We are wise. We are harmless as doves. Remember, we are a person of peace. This is what we are for. And five, we take direction from the Holy Spirit, from our shepherd, each and every day. God, what do you want from me? Guide me, direct me. And so my prayer for us as a church, because Jesus is speaking this to you, he's speaking this to me, and he's saying, behold, look, I'm sending you out. You are a sent people every single day. And it may feel like you're sheep among wolves. Remember, you're a sheep with a lion heart. And I want you to be wise. I want you to be looking for those opportunities. I want you to prepare yourself, because you know God's going to use you. So you're preparing yourself to be used, right? Every single day. And then we step back and go, God, I'm ready. I'm waiting. When I see the opportunity, I'm moving. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to speak. And I'm trusting that you'll show up in this moment. I'm going to pray and trusting that you're going to show up in this moment. And I believe we'll continue to see God be made famous in this place. We'll continue to see people come to faith. I pray that we'll continue to see that in incredible ways, and God will use every single person in this room listening to this message, that, hey, God wants to use you in incredible ways, that you can change people's eternity. And I want you, when you get to heaven, for it to be an incredible celebration, because we're hugging people going, yes, I remember when God used me as a vessel and you came to know Christ. I remember when God used me as a vessel and you came to know Christ. And then other people we may not even know may walk up to us and go, you don't know this, but the way you lived your life, the way you were always there, the way that you were connecting with me, the way that you loved me through that situation, God used you. And all of a sudden we see these connections. And I believe it can be an incredible, incredible sight, an incredible feeling for what God has for us if we're willing to surrender to what he has. And so for us, our first step is surrendering to God. We receive the Holy Spirit when we give our lives to Christ. And God is saying, hey, I want you to surrender your life first. And as we surrender our life to Christ, he makes us new. It says the old life is gone. He takes our sin, he takes our shame, he takes our guilt, and all of that, and in his grace transforms it into new, into freedom, into hope, into truth. And it begins to reshape us and mold us into his image. And we see this every single day, relationship with Christ. And he's saying, I want that for you, but it starts with surrendering first. And so we're going to pray together. And if you've never prayed to receive Christ, you've never given your life to Christ before, my prayer is that you would do that now during this time. The prayer doesn't bring about salvation is Jesus and what he did on the cross. The prayer is you proclaiming to God and saying, God, I believe in you. Romans 10:9 says, if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised from the dead, then you will be saved. And God is saying, hey, if you trust me, if you believe in that, my promise is you can receive salvation. So let's pray together. If you never surrendered your life to Christ, you just may pray something like this. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I'm separated from you. God, I ask that you would save me. Change me forever, God. Take my past. Take my hurt. Take my future, God. God, I'm your vessel. I pray that you will lead me and guide me, God. And so for the rest of us here today, I just want to pray for us as a church. God, I pray that you will guide and direct our lives and our hearts. God, use us every single day. I pray that we wake up tomorrow this afternoon and we just know that we are sent people. We have an assignment, God. And even though you send us out and it may be a sheep among wolves, God, but we know that we are a sheep, we are a lamb walking out, and we have the Lion of Judah, Jesus Christ, who has conquered all, is with us, God. He gives us strength from within. And I pray that right now, supernaturally, that you will just renew everybody's strength in here this morning. That if somebody is tired, God, I pray that they will rest under your mercy, rest under your grace, God. And I pray that the truth of God will well up inside of our hearts. And I pray that for moments of divine appointments where we can love people, where we can share truth, share grace, something supernatural happens around Easter time, God. I believe that you are just drawing men near to you. And I pray that you will use us during this time to proclaim that you are alive today in 2019. You still bring freedom and hope. And I pray that we believe that, God, and use us for your will. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to continue to sing and worship. And maybe you prayed that prayer today for the first time. My encouragement is that you would come have a conversation with me. We actually have even a nice little packet, a booklet to help you walk through the next steps. We have a Bible for you as well. Or maybe you don't want to have the conversation, but you want to fill that Connect card out. And you can say, hey, I decided to follow Jesus. And we can talk during the week as well. But we want to help you. You're not meant to walk this journey alone. So let's continue to sing. Let's continue to worship together.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.